Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Welcome on in to another edition of In the Hoop, brought to you by the Sports Buffoons and Let's Talk Sports. My name is Tanner Dawson of Let's Talk Sports and Sports Buffoons here. Joined with me is the man that we consider the NBA guy of our group, JG of the Sports Buffoons. JG, what's up?
What's up, yo? Good to be back.
Good to be back. We haven't heard from Scott today, so we're going to go ahead and just go on from here and see what happens. So, we missed out last week. We had a great guys trip out there with the Buffoons here and had a blast for 3 days worth. Got to see some aftermath of some devastating wins down in Tulsa. But overall, it was a pretty damn good weekend. So what, you good with that? Sound right?
Yeah, man, it was a great time. Hit up a couple of different breweries, although we didn't get to hit up all of them down there in Tulsa because of that bad storm that they had. A lot of the breweries were shut down. I sat down at one of the breweries on this cushioned seat. And I think somebody dumped their beer all over that fucking seat. And I thought somebody pissed in the seat. So I got my ass all wet. I was kind of pissed. But other than that, it was a pretty good trip.
Agreed. And there was a lot going on leading up to the NBA draft here. So since we talked last, the Denver Nuggets did win the chip. We did not get a chance to recap that, but there's not much to recap because I think you guys kind of saw what happened anyways. But then there was more trades happening. That Beal trade, which we talked about on Wednesday. There was a lot of rumors swinging around as well, leading up to the draft on everything as well. And now we're sitting here with a couple big trades. Let's jump into this first trade here first. I want to talk about this Jordan Poole, Chris Paul with you first before we get in the other trade. Chris Paul now goes from Suns to the Wizards to the Golden State Warriors, which is interesting. Jordan Poole goes from the Warriors to the Wizards. So what's your thoughts here? What are the Wizards doing? What is Golden State doing? Anyways, Jason, what are you thinking on this trade?
Well, so the first thing is the fact that, you know, the Warriors organization, from the moment that punch was delivered from Draymond to Jordan Poole, kind of before the season started, that they kind of tried to play that off like it was nothing. But I think that it was a lot more to it than what they let on, because I think it affected them in the regular season in terms of their team chemistry, particularly in those road games. You got to have good team chemistry. You're going to have a shitty road record like they did. And then obviously kind of underperforming in the playoffs. And so I think for the Warriors, it was a situation where, yeah, I mean, they didn't get much for Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, I mean, could go on to average at least 25, 26 points per game next year for the Wizards. I mean, that guy could be in the All-Star game next year. Because he's going to get a lot of looks, a lot more volume than he's used to. But I think in terms of the Warriors, this was more addition by subtraction, not because he was a bad talent, but just because he didn't fit in on that team because of what happened between him and Draymond. They just couldn't recover from that in terms of team chemistry. So I think the Warriors were in a position where they had to get rid of Poole. Again, not because he's a shitty player. Like the dude could easily average. I think whenever Steph was out and Jordan Poole got the starting nod, I think he was averaging like 25 points a game.
I think so, yeah.
So certainly an amazing player, but they had to get rid of him. In terms of only getting back Chris Paul, I mean, again, they didn't get the value there. I don't care what anybody says. They did not get anything close to the value, but since they had to move off of him, you know, you bring in an old man, the old man CP3. I've been saying he was old for the last 5 years, so now he's beyond old. And so the only thing that he's going to be able to do for them is to run the second unit. because yep. you're not going to, I mean, I guess you could throw him in there into the starting unit, but it doesn't really make sense because he's more of a pick and roll guy. Whereas the Warriors offense runs more off of like ball movement and cutting and Steph running off the screens. I mean, I think they can play together, but I think it makes more sense to just have CP3 be in charge of that second unit because we all saw last year, whenever Steph was off the floor, the Warriors bench just went to shit. I mean, they couldn't keep up with these teams. Like, you know, if they were ahead, say by 10 or 15 points, whenever Steph went out and was on the bench, you would see these teams start to cut into that lead. And so the bench just couldn't hold their own when Steph was on the bench. And so I think that's the fit here for Chris Paul. He's got to come in there and just make sure that that second unit stays productive whenever Steph is on the bench. So, and then the other thing obviously that this means is that Draymond is coming back no matter what. I mean, I knew that he was going to come back. Didn't know if they were going to get rid of Poole, but I knew that they were going to give Draymond as much money as he wanted because Draymond and Steph are kind of the two guys that are irreplaceable. You can kind of mix and match these other guys, but those are the two that you've got to keep. I think they're going to get to a point now where they're going to have to trade Klay Thompson. That's the other piece that has some value that you can move because the lineup just doesn't make sense right now. I know that the Warriors built their dynasty in many ways based on playing small ball. Well, the NBA is getting bigger right now, and you see all of these teams like the Sixers, and now that Boston's got Porzingis, and obviously Denver, when Nikola Jokic, you've got to have some bigs in there if you want to compete in today's NBA. And I think the only way the Warriors are going to be able to do that to add a piece to their roster is to trade away Klay Thompson. And we all know that he's past his prime. He's not the same Klay that he was prior to that catastrophic injury that he had, but he could still be a productive player on another team. But the Warriors just, they've got to find some other big pieces because they're just too small right now. You can play small ball sometimes, but they're not going to be able to get away with that and try to win a championship. So I think Klay Thompson's the piece they're going to move. There's no way in hell. I cannot see a world where they make this trade for CP3 and then that's it. They don't make any other fucking moves, you know, to try to make their team better. Because if that were to happen, dude, then they're not even a contender at that point. I mean, so I think they're definitely going to make some more moves. And I think one of those moves is going to be to trade Klay Thompson.
Do you really think that a Draymond who has character issues on the court, obviously with suspensions, has his history, and also kind of in a way had a kind of aggression year last year. Do you feel like he's still the best option for the Golden State Warriors? And is that a comfortability issue because you know what you have, or is that there's just nobody else in the free agent world right now, or even in the trade world that you could make a move for?
I don't think they care, man. I think the fact that he's got four rings and, you know, too many people, it's just kind of overblown the narrative of, well, they've got two of those rings with KD. When you get a chip before, during, and after KD, I understand KD was on those teams, but if you've proven that you could win it before and after KD, both times with Draymond, then you've proven that you're a dynasty with or without Kevin Durant. And so Draymond is the guy that he's a great facilitator. He's basically the anchor on that defense. And honestly, dude, the Warriors have nowhere else to go. I don't think I don't think you could get that much back for him anyway. Draymond's got a ton of value on the Warriors, but he doesn't have that much value on another team. So I don't even think you could get that much back for him. Whereas you can get a lot back for Klay Thompson. But in terms of,
well, you got to remember, Draymond's an unrestricted free agent at the moment because he declined his player option earlier this month. So right, this guy isn't now, even on the Warriors.
Yeah, but now that they've moved that Jordan Poole contract off the books, I don't think they really give a shit. I mean, they're going to give him, I think, what did he opt out of? Like 27 million, something like
27
that. Yeah. They'll give him 30, 32, 2 to 3 year deal. I mean, they don't care, man. They're going all in for basically 1 year. I mean, if we think that Steph is going to start to decline after this year or next, you know, Draymond is, again, the anchor on the defense, and they're willing to take that risk, you know, in terms of all of his technical fouls and his antics on the court. I think it's kind of funny that you've always worried about Draymond kicking people in the nuts. Well, now all of a sudden you've got the other guy in the league that likes to kick people in the nuts in CP3. So now you've got, it doesn't matter when you're playing against the Warriors. Now you're going to have to worry about the first and the second unit trying to kick you in the nuts, because now you got two of those fucking guys on the same team. But so I thought that was kind of funny. But no, that in terms of all of his technical fouls and all that shit, you know, that's something they're willing to take that risk, because Draymond has proven that he's got that championship pedigree. And that's the other thing too that's going to be funny to watch is Draymond obviously being one of the biggest complainers in the NBA. Well, now, again, you got another one of those fuckers in CP3 who just likes to fucking complain about every call. So you're that team, they've got a couple of big shit whiners now, which is going to make these games even more interesting to watch. If they're not whining, they're going to kick you in the nuts. So either way, it's going to be fairly entertaining.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this Draymond situation ends up, what Chris Paul is on this Warriors team, especially being the second, if he's for sure a second unit guy, does he stay healthier, you know, or is there something there that causes another injury? So that whole deal is something to watch throughout this offseason. So there was another trade made, though. That was a Celtics, Grizzlies, Wizards three-team trade here. Celtics received Kristaps Porzingis from the Wizards, the number 25 pick from the Grizzlies for this year, as well as a top four protected first round pick from the Warriors, or via Warriors there, 2024. The Grizzlies received Marcus Smart from the Celtics, and the Wizards received Tyus Jones from the Grizzlies, Danilo Gallinari, Lord of mercy, from the Celtics, Mike Muscala from the Celtics, and the number 35 pick in this year's draft from the Celtics. What's your thoughts on this trade? Does it make the Celtics better, or who ended up winning this trade too?
The Celtics won the trade, and they're the only team that got better of the three. You look at Memphis getting Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. I guess you can make the case that that is a slight upgrade over Dylan Brooks, because you'll have more of a veteran leadership presence in that locker room, as opposed to a guy like Dylan Brooks that just likes to talk shit and get everybody riled up. So I think that's certainly a slight upgrade for Memphis, but it doesn't move the needle in terms of trying to contend for a championship. The Wizards, they're going to have a dynamic backcourt that will be fun to watch, and Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole. But they're basically starting over. I mean, they're not going to win anything. Nope. I think they're, once the Brad Beal trade happened, you know, they were just trying to move those big contracts off the books so they could start over, basically. But Celtics definitely won the trade. I mean, Marcus Smart, I mean, he's not really that old of a player, but he's a, you know, we all know that the smaller guards tend to age faster than the bigs in this league. And I think Porzingis is a guy that you could bring in there. He actually played really good defense last year. He's not known as being a great defender, but his defense last year was really good in terms of rim protection and otherwise. So I think they got better actually defensively. And honestly, the guy can hit threes. So I definitely think the Celtics got better. They moved the needle a little bit, but the most important thing for the Celtics, I can't emphasize this enough, is that as long as they keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, then they're going to have that continuity. So they've got, they're going to come back with the same coach, and people don't talk about continuity enough in this league. And so as long as they don't move off of Jaylen Brown, they keep the big two together. They keep their coach. I think they're going to be better next year just based on continuity alone. And Porzingis is going to make them better. And I think it does move the needle. So, yeah, they definitely won the trade. And Wizards just starting over. And, yeah, I mean, good luck to Marcus Smart. See if he can try to control that Ja Morant guy over there.
Right. And that Celtics did end up trading that number 25 pick to the Detroit Pistons for, I believe, a future first round pick in that as well. So that ended up not even using that 25th pick, which is something the Celtics are known for of doing, is trading out of the first round and obtaining multiple picks for the next year. So just something to throw in there for that one. So, but I think it's interesting too, because Kristaps, he's a guy that's, it's going to help the Celtics because now they have a more reliable scorer from the inside, still being versatile, still a defensive guy as of this last year, especially even more, but a guy that is capable of scoring on the inside, which is something that lacked a lot between Robert Williams and Al Horford. You saw their games sometimes, but they weren't consistent enough. I think this helps them being consistent inside here for this team. So I think that's the big reason why we're seeing Porzingis in there.
Yeah, you definitely got an upgrade from Robert Williams. I mean, that Robert Williams just can't seem to stay on the court. And then Al Horford seems like he's 100 years old by now. So, I mean, he's not going to be as effective. Definitely Porzingis. I mean, he had the best year of his career last year, but nobody gives a shit because he was on Washington. So he kind of flew under the radar. But he's definitely going to make some noise for the Celtics, and I think he's definitely going to make them better.
Right. So we'll move on here. Let's talk about the draft that happened Thursday night here. We did a LTS show special around the first round there. That was really a fun time there. So first overall pick to your San Antonio Spurs, baby, Victor Wembanyama. How excited are you? What are we seeing here? What's your thoughts?
I mean, how can I not be excited, man? I've been following this team since I was 12 years old. They got their 5 rings, and then they kind of went through a slump there for a few years. Had a few good years with DeJounte Murray, and then had to trade him away. But now they've got a lot of draft capital for the future. They've got Wembanyama, who, in my opinion, is the real deal. I mean, he's going to be one of the all-time greats. And I'm probably trying to jump the gun here a little bit. The consensus is that Spurs aren't even going to make the playoffs until year three of Wembanyama. I got to start pronouncing that name better, man. Wembanyama. You got to say it like 5 times in a row real fast to be able to say it correctly, but... I want to go all in right now, because there's some interesting free agents out there that I think they can bring in to maybe not make the playoffs in year one, but you'll give yourself a better chance in year two, year three to try to make a playoff push. And the guys that I would like to bring in, number one, Fred VanVleet is a free agent right now. Spurs have all the money in the world, and I would give it to VanVleet right now because he's only 29 years old. Yep. And he could, if they could make a playoff push, even the next 3 to 4 years, sign him to a big contract. I mean, that would be a huge piece to try to pair with Wemby. Another guy I'd like to bring back, at least in the short term, is my old guy from the Spurs, Danny Green. He's got the veteran leadership. Obviously, he's been there before. He's comfortable with the Spurs culture. And I'd like to see him come back and be kind of one of those old veterans to try to lead this team. Another free agent that's probably not going to happen. This is kind of a pipe dream for me, but Bruce Brown. Yeah. Let's bring in Bruce Brown, man. And then the other guy would be Brook Lopez. So if I could bring in – it's never going to happen, but if I could bring in those free agents – and then you still got you know, you could have, if you bring in Van Vliet, you've still got Devin Vassell as your backup point guard, who averaged 18, 4, and 3 last year. You've got Keldon Johnson, who averaged 22 and 5. And I think this could be easily be a playoff team in year one, but it just kind of depends on what the Spurs want to do as an organization. Do they want to wait until next year's free agent market, or do they want to go ahead and sign a guy like Van Vliet? My guess is they'll probably try to be patient here. But my gosh, they don't have a whole lot of contracts on the books right now. So yeah. I think Van Vliet is the one guy that I would try to lock up if I could lock up one guy. I did think it was interesting that some dumbass, I think it was on DraftKings, made a $60,000 bet that Wemby would be drafted first overall, and the fucker made $300. Wow. What an amazing bet.
What's the point in that?
Congratulations to that guy. That was an amazing bet. If you can't find something better to put your money to work for you, then my gosh, that you got some issues, dude.
I think Mike should have went all in for that one number one overall pick.
No, sports buffoon, sports buffoon Mike. I don't think he's got. Yeah, you know, he might have 60,000 laying around. Actually,
I don't know if he has that.
I think it's all tied up. It's all tied up into non-liquid assets. So that's why he wasn't able to do that.
Yeah, that's good. So the second overall pick, which is a shock for me, because this is the guy that was talking crap on Michael Jordan, calling him just another guy. Paul George is his goat. Brandon Miller from Alabama. Had some, history there with the incident and the gun and the murder and all that with Alabama stuff. Also, to me, kind of didn't show up in the NCAA tournament. He had a game where he didn't score any points. So this is a guy that has – I've seen inconsistencies in this game, but he ended up going number two to the Charlotte Hornets. MJ talked to him on the phone as well. Brandon Miller out here from Alabama. What's your thoughts on this one?
So the first thing is that it's extremely rare to have the number one and number two overall picks specifically turn out to be stars. It's extremely rare in the NBA, hardly ever happens. So I think that's what you're going to get in this year's draft as well. I do not think he's going to be a star. And I don't necessarily think that they made the right pick here. I understand that you want to go for the longer 6'9" guy with, a long wingspan, because you got to have long, tall players in today's NBA. I get that. But he is kind of a Paul George type player. I don't think he's going to be as good as Paul George. I like his 3-point percentage in college at 38%. Yeah. But I think Charlotte fell into a little bit of a trap here. They drafted for need rather than drafting the best player on the board. And I think the consensus is that Scoot Henderson was the best player on the board at this point. But I think they were a little bit scared to draft him and try to pair him with LaMelo Ball. I think they wanted to get just a longer wing player to fit with LaMelo Ball. And that's not necessarily the right decision. I think you could have drafted Scoot Henderson. And I mean, I have no problem. You could throw him in there at the two. You can have two dynamic guards in your starting lineup, and that can still make you a better team. And so I think they fell into a trap here. I think he's going to be a productive player. I could see him being a really good 3-and-D player, developing that 3-point shot and being a really good 3-point shooter and a great defensive player. Maybe he might end up having a similar impact. I'm not saying they're similar players, but he might have a similar impact to a guy like Aaron Gordon on the Nuggets. So he can be an impactful player, but I certainly don't think he's going to be a star. I think that Scoot has a higher upside as being a star in the NBA.
I kind of agree there. I don't know. I want to see more Brandon Miller in the NBA now. See if he, can be more consistent, a better role. So, but we'll have to see there. Number three, that last one we'll talk about here. Portland Trailblazers selects Scoot Henderson, of course, because if he drops a three, why not, right? That's the big thing. Going to pair with Damian Lillard, who's been part of the big trade blocks as well, that he's finally come out. Portland's like, we're not trading him, and it's off the block. So, but what do you think here with Scoot? I like the guy. He's stupid young. Didn't play college. He played the G League and dominated in the G League against, you know, former pros. So what's your thoughts here?
Yeah, he actually he played against Wembanyama, and he was able to lead his team to victory in that game. The biggest glaring issue with him is 28% from three. Now, that's obviously something that Portland's going to try to work with him on to develop into a better three-point shooter. But again, he's just a more dynamic player than Brandon Miller. He's kind of a Derrick Rose type. Yeah. Not to say that he's, I don't know, I'm not going to say that he's going to be as good as Derrick Rose, but I like the pick for Portland. But that kind of leads into our final topic is, you know, what the hell are they doing? I think the only thing I can figure out that they might be trying to put out there in terms of telling the world that we're going to keep Dame Lillard is just kind of maybe using that for a smokescreen, because I've always said that you can say whatever you want. You can tell them, you can tell people 100 times that we're going to keep this player, Dame Lillard, but there is always a price for every player in the league. There's always a price. The question is a team willing to pay that price? And I know that Miami is the team that I really wanted Dame to be sent to in a trade, but I just don't know if my, I know Miami's got the assets. I just don't know if they're willing to give them up. And I don't really know what the asking price is for Portland, but I think Portland's just being kind of stupid here. I mean, you're obviously not going to win a championship. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to make the playoffs, but what's the point? I mean, yeah. You're basically ruining a guy's career and Dame Lillard, who is a Hall of Famer, and I think they would be doing him a favor by actually moving on from him. As much as he's dedicated himself to that city, I think they'd be doing that. That's the best thing that they could do for him is to move on from him, to try to help him move on and get a championship. But yeah, I don't know if they're just posturing or if they're trying to pump up the price for him or what, but they got to move off of him, man, because if not, I mean, they're not going to win shit. I mean, Scoot is going to be a great player like probably 3 or 4 years from now, but you're not going to do shit right now. And so Dame is kind of a guy, he's loyal to a fault. And I think that's the bigger issue here is he doesn't want to ask for a trade.
Yep.
He doesn't want to do like the Kawhi Leonards and, you know, some of these other guys that demand trades. He's not that guy. I just don't. It's like it's in his heart. He doesn't feel right about it. And I respect that. And that's why it's up to the organization to just say, hey, we got to do what's best for Dame here. But yeah, Dame is loyal to a fault. Not going to ask for a trade. And there, you know, there's not enough free agents, dude. There's not enough free agents right now that you can go out and sign if you're Portland to go ahead and try to make a move.
No, there's no playmaker out there that you're able to get right now for that would fit within that team's financial anyways, you know, and it's Dame's a topic every year, right? Is it time for him to leave? Is it time for him to leave? Is it time for him to leave? It's time for him every year to leave. When you don't get to play the playoffs every year with that kind of talent and that kind of leadership he shows, you got to get out. You got to get out, and you're turning, what is he, 33, we said? So, like,
he will be 33 in July. And, you know, if he was a big, you know, when you're talking about wings and bigs, then when they turn 33, yeah, they can have 3 or 4 more productive years left. But when you're a small guard like Dame, you know, 33, 34 after that, man, it's kind of a wrap. You're going to start to see a decline. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe his agent will talk to him and be like, hey, dude, why don't you just get the fuck out of here so you can go win a chip?
Right. You got to think that it has to be coming soon for him. So, you know, I want to show you something, Jason, because I want to see you in this outfit at one of our trips or one some kind of party here. I don't know if you saw Mr. Grady Dick, a Jayhawk, right?
Our team.
You know, he drafted to the Raptors, and this is his outfit. It's pretty solid. He said it's all from Kansas, so it's a Dorothy suit. It's underneath his soles is red. This is a guy. This is my favorite draft outfit of the NFL or NBA draft that we saw on Thursday there. So just wanted to kind of show off that big baller Dick here, and he's ready to go. So, and it happens that he picked to the Raptors. So there's your red.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy when a Jayhawk gets drafted that high, but I don't really have any comment on that outfit, man. You couldn't have conned me into wearing that shit. I can tell you that right now, but you know, more power to him, man. Hey man, when you get drafted in the first round, guess what? You can wear whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks. So more power to him.
Right. Yeah. It's proud of him. And Jalen Wilson ended up going to the Brooklyn Nets in the second round. So a couple Jayhawks in the NBA draft this last Thursday. Well, JG, you got anything else here?
Nah, man. I think we got at least one more week of In the Hoop. So I always appreciate you guys tuning in. But, you know, obviously we got free agency. So we're going to be on at least for next Saturday all the way through free agency. And then I guess probably whenever the summer league starts, that's when we'll call it a wrap for In the Hoop this year.
Yeah, it'll be pretty sporadic after that next couple weeks here. If something big does go down, we'll get on, but it'll be pretty much a sporadic deal going until the NBA season really starts getting underway. So, but guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you guys hit like, subscribe, follow, and have a fabulous weekend. We'll talk to you next week. See you.
Outro.